This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's about power and control, and it's just one more thing that they've done wrong. I mean, frankly, I don't know that they've done anything right. What was the Quinnipiac poll had his approval rating at 33%. I think the real question is, who are these 33%?
Who are these people?
But I said if they get elected, our country would become a large-scale version of Venezuela, remember? And I didn't really, you know, I said it, and I meant it a little bit. Guess what? It's true.
Venezuela, here I come!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all of them.
Including a great American name,
Howie Carr.
Y'all know what day it is?
It's somebody's birthday today.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
The signatories are coming in right and left from the Dr. American community. Dr. Kevorkian has signed the petition to take Joe Rogan off the off Spotify. So has Dr. McCoy from Star Trek, a.k.a. Bones. I'm sure there'll be more coming in as the hour goes by. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I want to play some cuts here from Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio. He's been on a real tear lately. And, you know, I don't know. I wonder why he's not running for the Senate. You know, they got some good people running for the Senate in Ohio. Josh Mandel, I've met him down here in Florida. He's been around. And J.D. Vance, I'm a little more suspicious of him for assorted reasons. But, you know, there are good Senate candidates. But I think if I lived in Ohio and Jordan was on the ballot against Mandel and Vance, I'd vote for Jordan. But yeah, I guess he wants to stay in the House. Maybe he thinks he's going to be in leadership. Didn't he talk about running for minority leader against McCarthy in the last election, or he was thinking about it anyway till he did the head count. But anyway, this was on the House floor last week, he was talking about how, you know, you need a they want vaccine passports for trips to fast food restaurants. And, you know, someone else, I mentioned earlier in the day that there's a new Rasmussen poll out saying that 59% of Democrats want the unvaccinated to be forced by law, by the police, to remain in their houses, to not leave. And a texter said, do the Democrats feel the same way about illegal aliens? They're all unvaccinated. So should they be forced not to leave their homes, not to come up here and go on welfare and commit crimes? Of course not, because they're going to be proud Democrat voters. But anyway, this is Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio on the House floor last week. Cut 11.
They told us it didn't come from a lab. They told us it wasn't gain-of-function research. They told us it was only 15 days to slow the spread. Masks work. They told us we have a federal plan. Joe Biden said that himself. They told us there would never be a vaccine mandate. They told us people who get vaccinated can't get the virus. The vaccinated can't transmit the virus. And they told us there was no such thing as natural immunity. Think about this. At the same time, Democrats require you to put on a mask, show your papers and an ID to get a Big Mac at McDonald's. They want to allow the federal government to stop states from requiring a photo ID to vote.
He's on fire, and he just kept it up all weekend with Maria Bartiromo on Fox. It's so true. I mean, remember when what did Fauci say? 70% of the country is vaccinated, it's all over. You know, you can't transmit it. You can't get it if you're vaccinated. It's just not true. But he also told us that you didn't need to wear a mask. And then he told us you needed to wear a mask. Then he told us you needed to wear two masks. I mean, everything changes. No, and they wonder why he has no credibility. Okay, this is Jim Jordan with Maria Bartiromo on Fox. cut 12.
They've messed up every single thing. You think about the message that they're sending to families, particularly in urban areas, where they're saying, we're not going to let your kids go to school. We're going to let bad guys roam the street. And, oh, by the way, we're also going to let illegal immigrants vote. I mean, that's the message they're sending. No wonder no one approves of what this administration is doing.
We also gave you the cut earlier about, same thing that I've been thinking. I think you've probably been thinking it as well. You know, when they say Biden is down to 33% in the polls, you wonder, who the hell are these 33%? I mean, you know, you remember Mitt Romney got into trouble for saying that it was hard for a Republican to win election because 50% of the people or more were getting a check from the government in some form or another. I'm not sure that number is correct and that everyone's getting a check from the government is voting for them. But this 33%, this has got to be the hardcore constituency, the people who aren't worried about inflation because they just figure that the checks will come back. You know, if they really get in a jam, they'll just increase the food stamps even more than they already have. They'll give us back the welfare checks for the kids. They'll say we just don't have to pay rent again. They'll say we don't have to pay back the student debts. But then he's talking about how the difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration handling these bad actors in abroad. Cut 14.
When our Secretary of State was in Anchorage, Alaska, meeting with his counterpart, and the treatment that Secretary Blinken allowed the Chinese to, the lecture he got from them, that would never happen to Mike Pompeo in a President Trump administration. Pompeo, first, they wouldn't have tried it. And Maria, if they did do it, Mike would have got up and flipped the table over and said, you don't talk to the greatest nation in history that way. We are the United States of America. We're not going to tolerate that. But yet Tony Blinken just sat there and took it. So, again, I think it just is overall picture and fact that there's weakness now being projected from the Oval Office.
Tony Blinken has, I think, spent his life taking it, you know, whether he was in middle school and they took away his lunch money or they stuffed him in his locker or they stomped on his little brown lunch bag. Tony Blinken, he's the classic beta male. And the thought of him being Secretary of State is rather disturbing, I would say. And now we talk about the political investigation of the January 6th Fed surrection. And of course, he and Representative Banks from Indiana were supposed to be the Republicans on it to keep them honest, but that wasn't allowed because they don't want to really ask the questions of, say, Speaker Pelosi. Why didn't you take the troops that President Trump offered you? Why didn't you want more security around the Capitol? Cut 16.
I think everyone in the country sees this as a political operation. This is designed to get after President Trump because they don't want him to run again. Because President Trump, I think, is going to run again, and I think he's going to win. And that's what this is designed to do. And as you rightly point out, Maria, they won't look at the one person, the Speaker of the House, and her responsibility. In fact, Benny Thompson, the chairman of the committee, has basically said she's off limits and she's the one responsible for the security of the United States Capitol.
Think about this. What if you were a grand jury and you were investigating a what you suspected was a criminal enterprise? And they said you can subpoena anybody except Mr. Big. You can't ask any questions about Mr. Big because Mr. Big is could get us fired, all of us prosecutors. And then now he's talking about all the physicians who knew that there was the Red Death, the Wuhan Red Death, had come out of a lab, and the scientists who looked the other way. Cut 17.
2020, he says this to Dr. Fauci in an email. He says, virus looks engineered, virus not consistent with evolutionary theory. So he knew it came from a lab, but they changed their position. And a few months later, guess what? They get $8.9 million grant. Both him and Dr. Gary, the guy who said it couldn't happen naturally. They change their position and get an $8.9 million grant from Dr. Fauci.
$8.9 million for saying it didn't come out of the lab. I'll say it for $7.2 million that it didn't come out of the lab. I can be had. Cut 18.
We now know without a doubt that Dr. Fauci knew on January 31st and February 1st that this thing came from a lab. The top scientists in the country were saying it came from a lab. One scientist says, we got the notes now from the conference call on February 1st. One scientist says, I don't see how this can happen in nature, but it would be easy to do in a lab. And yet, just in a matter of days, they change their position, write the article that appears in Nature Medicine magazine, which then gets cited in the now famous letter in The Lancet that became the gospel for the fact that Fauci can go out and tell people it didn't come from a lab when, in fact, they knew it did.
And this is all getting a good leaving alone in the media, you know? The letter denouncing Joe Rogan for having Dr. Malone on, that went around the world in the morning while the story about these emails, these smoking gun emails, was still putting its pants on, as they used to say about good news and bad news. 844-500-4242-508. I'm not surprised at that 33% Biden supporter number. How many morons have you seen in cars wearing masks? Yeah. I've seen people down here in Florida in convertibles wearing masks. Not many, but you know damn well who they voted for. 844-500-4242. We'll take a lot of calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
When Howie's on, every radio is a magic radio.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Howie Carr is back.
It's my birthday. Who brought the Budweiser beer? 844-500-4242. That's the number if you want to give us a call. I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows. I wear their slippers. I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream sheets, go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Taylor, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Now that the Patriots have been eliminated, who are you rooting for to go to the Super Bowl? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, or other?
Green Bay Packers.
24%.
Aaron Rodgers.
24% say the Packers, 45% want the Bucks, 16% want the Bills, 9% say other, and only 6% want the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl.
No change all afternoon, basically.
Odd. Yeah, pretty much the same pecking order.
All right. Thank you, Taylor. 844-500-4242. As you know, the mayor moved the vaccine mandate deadline for city workers from last Saturday to a week from today. And there's a statement here by the Boston First Responders United over the weekend. While this change gives hardworking employees one more paycheck, it is arbitrary and demonstrates the lack of emergent factors that would ordinarily support the implementation of a vaccine mandate in the first place. I thought was really a good observation by the first responders. The policy of passports is laughable insofar as it includes provisions such as patrons do not need to display proof of vaccination for an entry for a quick and limited purpose, such as using the restroom or placing a takeout order. So in other words, the COVID will not strike you if you're ordering takeout. It can only strike you down, and you can only spread it if you're trying to sit down. Okay. This is like Charlie Parker, you know, when he was pushing the thing. You can go into a restaurant and you can have a full meal, but you can't order anything a la carte, or you can't order an appetizer because the virus will strike you down if you order an appetizer, but not if you order a full dinner.
There's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, we know that. This directly, according to the first responders, undermines the alleged intent of the passport system, keeping unvaccinated away from vaccinated in enclosed spaces. Mayor Michelle Wu has repeatedly said she is following the playbook of New York City. Perhaps she has forgotten which city she was elected mayor for in the short month and a half that she has been in office. Jennifer, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, Howie. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hello. How are you? Long time, first time caller. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the march, the anti-vaccine mandate march that took place on Saturday, January 15th in
right.
freezing weather. I met Sergeant Shayna, I'm probably mispronouncing
Catone.
Her name. There we go. I met her. I marched with her. I met other nurses. I'm a COVID PCU nurse. I met teachers. There were Democrats, Republicans, Independents. All races were there. There were children, babies. Everyone was out there. It was peaceful. And of course,
and it was cold.
It was like a negative 15 degree wind chill. But we were out there, and the latest number I heard was approximately 1,800 of us were out there. And on Sunday, on the Boston Globe website, I believe they said things like there were dozens of us or up to 500 or something.
Dozens.
Exactly. So we were out there. We all had our camera phones, and we are trying to spread the word. We're posting footage on social media, and it was a really great event. I can only imagine how many more people would have been out there if it wasn't 0 degrees outside. So
where can people find the video if they want to see it, Jennifer?
Let's see, because I know I've been posting on my own page, but as far as the website, I think Sergeant Shayna, she can probably give more information if you have her on again. But I think as for right now, people are just posting on their own personal Instagram pages and on Facebook.
Okay. We'll check it out then, Jennifer. And I'm glad you were out there, and I'm glad you didn't catch your death of cold, if not COVID. It's just you really have to care to be out in that kind of weather, you know. And I don't blame people. And you know, it's your own personal decision, you know. And what was wrong with the system that was in effect until Wu became mayor, which was, if you didn't want to get the vaccine, you could get the test. And again, I don't think the test was particularly effective, but we now have increasing questions about the vaccine and how effective it is. So, you know, why do you want to destroy someone's career, take away their paycheck, take away their health insurance, because they're not willing to go along with something that may not even be necessary, but ultimately, whether it is necessary or it is not necessary, it's someone's own choice. Our bodies, ourselves. I mean, that's an old saying from the 70s. I thought liberals believed in that. I thought Democrats all believed in that. 844-500-4242. We'll take some more calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Let's play a little bit of Trump on Saturday night. I think probably a lot of the listeners and viewers were watching the Patriots game. As dismal as it was, Trump took the stage about the time it was, I don't know, 14-21-0, something like that. Game was over, but people stuck with it, hoping for the best, thinking there'd be another Super Bowl versus Atlanta type situation, but it was not to be, because number 12 is now in Tampa Bay. So this was Trump on the vaccine mandate. This is Saturday night in Florence, Arizona, cut one.
Leave our businesses alone. Leave all of us the hell alone. Tell Joe Biden the Americans' health choices are none of his business. We can make our own choices.
It's so true. Cut to.
You take a look at other states, what a disaster. California has been a total catastrophe. And they were locked down. They were locked down as close as you could be. By the way, how did Cuomo do as governor? Really wonderful job, huh? What a wonderful job he did. That guy, I'd watch him every day on television and say, he's saying the wrong stuff. But it's a shame what happened to some of our great places.
You know, DeSantis, I saw DeSantis last night in Palm Beach, and he made a good point that I'd never thought of before. And that's that Cuomo didn't do this stuff on purpose, you know, sending the infected patients back into the nursing homes. He just believed the panic porn. He just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And they told Fauci et al. Told him, oh, you got to get him out of the hospitals because the hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. Oh, keep the hospitals empty. Oh. And he sent them back into the nursing homes. And, you know, the rest is really bad history. All the thousands of dead people infected by the sending the COVID patients into the nursing homes. And that's he believed it. They believed their own excrement that they were peddling, that Fauci was peddling with these his friends who he was getting them to sign on by giving them millions of dollars in federal money, our federal money. Cut 12.
There are four times more COVID cases. Remember, I'm going to get rid of COVID. I'm going to get rid of COVID. Four times more cases than ever before.
I just want to play, before we go back to the lines here, I just want to play some stuff about January 6th. Because obviously, as Jordan said, they just want to dust him up again before he runs in 2024. So he's just raising some questions here about the Fed's erection. Cut 3.
If the Unselect Committee were serious about getting the facts about January 6th, it would focus on answering the following questions. Why did Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Police reject the more than 10,000 National Guard troops or soldiers that I authorized to help control the enormous crowd that I knew was coming? And the reason I knew it, everybody that I knew was saying, I'm going on January 6th, everybody. And they never talk, by the way, they never talk about that crowd.
And that's why Jordan and Jim Banks from Indiana couldn't be allowed on the committee, because they would have asked that very same question. They would have raised it publicly and said, why are we not asking the speaker? Why is she not being subpoenaed if she doesn't want to testify? Let's bring her in and put her under oath and ask her why she turned down the troops. And now they're saying, oh, when we get the results, we're going to have primetime reports. Primetime reports on what? Ugh. More reasons for people not to watch primetime television, as if they already, most of America already doesn't watch it. They watch Netflix, Hulu. And here's one of the many $64,000 questions that Trump raised about January 6th. Cut 4.
Exactly how many of those present at the Capitol complex on January 6th were FBI confidential informants, agents, or otherwise working directly or indirectly with an agency of the United States government? People want to hear this.
See, that's the way to put it, with an agency. Because Ray Epps, I don't work for the FBI. Well, some of them work for the Department of Defense. Or the Department, the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA. Some of them work for the CIA. That's how they ran the Russian collusion hoax. They had people from all of these different agencies. Pickle Nose got more than $500,000 from the Pentagon for over the years. And he wasn't James Bond, parachuting in at night into Taliban territory. He was going to cocktail parties in Oxford, in Cambridge. The only thing that was in danger was his liver, and his cholesterol count from all the jumbo shrimps he was eating. God, and these people were paid to frame Trump and Carter Page and George Papadopoulos and all the rest of them. And they're still trying to scam us with this thing. And now they're trying to scam us with January 6th. And then, of course, there's Ray Epps from Arizona. I thought Trump should have invited Ray Epps. You know, Ray, you can be up on stage with me. You know, you did all that good work for me. Why don't you come on up and tell us what really happened? Where'd you get that bullhorn that was the same bullhorn as all the other agents provocateur had? Cut five.
How about the one guy? Go in. Get in there, everybody. Epps, get in there. Go. Nothing happens to him. What happened with him? Nothing happens.
You notice there was no fact check on that? What are they going to check? What happened to Ray Epps? Why wasn't he charged? How do you go from the most wanted list to never mind overnight? Cut six.
Persecution of political prisoners, what's happening to those people in those jails? What's happening to those people? And why aren't they doing it to Antifa and to Black Lives Matter and to many other left-leaning, to put it mildly, groups? But the blatant abuse of power to harass their political opponents is disgraceful. It's never happened to this extent.
I could keep playing these all night, but there's one more I'm going to play right now, and it's just about the transgender movement, shall we say. Cut eight.
And we're done taking lectures on science from a party that tells us that men are women, women are men, and the babies, this is a fact, the babies can be killed even after birth, right? After birth. They used to talk late term. Now they're talking about, just go check out your governor of Virginia, your former governor of Virginia, and it's all just fine with them.
Former governor of Virginia. Yes, indeed. These are some of Youngkin's first day executive orders. Ending the use, EO1, Executive Order 1. Ending the use of inherently divisive concepts, including critical race theory, and restoring excellence in K-12 public education in the Commonwealth. The titles are inspiring, as John Heinderacker said at Powerline Blog. EO2, reaffirming the rights of parents in the upbringing, education, and care of their children. That's about banning mask mandates for school children. How about this one? He fired the entire Virginia parole board. They're letting criminals out. Stop me if you've heard this one before. EO3, restoring integrity and confidence in the Virginia parole board and the Commonwealth system of criminal justice. Then there's Loudoun County, where the boy in the dress was attacking girls and he didn't get any time. EO5, authorizing an investigation of Loudoun County public schools by the Attorney General, who fired 30 assistant AGs, the new Republican Attorney General. EO6, reinvigorating job growth by removing burdensome regulations from Virginia's business community. EO8, establishing the commission to combat anti-Semitism. What anti-Semitism? We have no reason to believe there was any anti-Semitism in Colleyville, Texas, or anywhere in Virginia, right? Just ask the Democrats. EO9, protecting ratepayers from the rising cost of living due to the regional greenhouse gas initiative. Oh. They're already out of TCI, so this is another green boondoggle to provide a lot of money for unemployable PhDs to make $200,000 a year, telling you to get rid of your internal combustion truck. Heinderacker says, he's only been in office for a couple of days, but Youngkin is starting to look like another Ron DeSantis in the making. Boy, Virginia will be lucky if they can get another Ron DeSantis. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Howie, thank you for taking the phone call. Happy birthday to you. And it was a great speech by President Trump over the weekend.
Yes, it was.
I wanted to mention just quick, Senator Marshall in Kansas basically proved that Dr. Fauci's financial disclosure record looks like it's more redacted than the Warren Commission report.
That's correct. Yes, he did. And you know, that's what you get for calling somebody a moron. And Marshall's a physician. I'm sure Marshall is a better physician than Dr. Fauci, you know? $10.4 million he's worth at the very least. And that's with the redacted report. So, you know, it's just outrageous that Fauci is getting away with this. And he's still talking about disinformation. I got to play a cut here from Fauci here just to increase everybody's blood pressure.
One of the things that we, I believe, the entire world is facing, but we certainly are facing it in a very, very disconcerting way in the United States, is the amount of disinformation that is accompanying what should be a problem where everyone pulls together against the common enemy, which is the virus. We have disinformation that is entirely destructive to a comprehensive public health endeavor.
Disinformation, that means playing back his old clips where he's saying something that he totally contradicts now, or releasing, as Peter said, his financial disclosure form, his redacted, heavily redacted financial disclosure forms, showing that as a bureaucrat on the public payroll for 55 years, he's made over $10 million. That's not bad, is it? And he has a salary of $420,000, which is more than Dementia Joe Biden makes as president of the United States. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this. There's no silencing him. They've tried.
You're not going to intimidate me. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Howie Carr.
I want to play this guy, Winston Glynn. He's the Jamaican illegal alien who gunned down a young woman in East Harlem about 10 days ago. She was working at the Burger King at 1 a.m., and he came in to rob the place. Again, a Jamaican illegal alien. And she gave him the money, and then he shot her in the head for no reason. And so they finally picked him up. His name is Winston Glynn. Puerto Rican descent. So she was, you know, technically a woman of color. She was killed. She was a legal citizen, born here, et cetera. And he was an illegal alien, bum. And he just gunned her down in cold-blooded execution. And so listen to what he says as he's leaving. He's being escorted out, and she's being, her neighbors and her family are yelling at this guy as this illegal alien as he's being, again, an illegal alien who's not from the United States of America, obviously. But listen to what he's yelling. Cut 27. I apologize for the quality of that, but at the very end, he says, "Where's our reparation for 400 years of bleeping slavery?" Wait a second. Your family is from Jamaica. They're not from the United States of America. What? How the hell are you eligible for reparations?
Was his family enslaved by Kamala Harris?
That's what I was going to say. See Kamala Harris, if this is in the Jamaican branch of reparations, and I don't have anything to do with it, and neither do those relatives of that young woman who was murdered by you in cold blood. See Kamala Harris, her family were slave owners in Jamaica. None of the people in Spanish Harlem, nobody who's listening to this show had any slaves in Jamaica. God. 844-500-4242. Rick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, happy birthday, Howie.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, I just quickly, on November 20th, up until last Tuesday, there were 260 positive COVID cases among Boston firefighters. And of those 260, 50 of them were unvaccinated. Okay? So this
right.
is further evidence that this vaccine just isn't working.
Well, yeah, and you know, this one makes it so odious for Fauci to say we got to deal with the disinformation. He said that vaccinations would stop any infections, didn't he, Rick?
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap. It's not working. That's plain and simple, you know. And and the other thing I wanted to touch on quickly is we got these hack politicians, and they're out there saying that anybody who's against the mayor's mandate here, it's because of racism and misogyny.
Right.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing at all. It's about a policy. That's what it is. They're saying these firefighters are racist. They overwhelmingly voted in a man of color who's a good man as their union rep. So.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100% on this. And, you know, under the former mayor, again, acting mayor, not elected, but the acting mayor, Kim Janey, she had no problem with giving people the option of having the test or the taking the test every week or taking the vaccine. What's the problem here with just continuing that policy? It succeeded. There was no labor unrest. People weren't being forced to resign rather than endanger their unborn children in some cases. I don't see what the problem was. And yeah, crying racism in so many cases is the last refuge of a scoundrel, and that's what it is here. And they're saying the Globe over the weekend was saying, you can't demonstrate outside of Michelle Wu's house. Well, you should be civil, but like Sergeant Catone said on the show a week ago tonight, I mean, City Hall's closed. Where are they going to express their discontent? If you can't go to a public building, what are they going to do? See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.